This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician. Giddy hit Austin. My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
It was just a way of life for me. On the sand of the Colosseum was where I was meant to be. I had learned the ways of the cave as a boy. My grandfather taught me living close to dying was living free. Had eyes that would light up the night.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here, folks, on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting to you in beautiful high-definition audio, or something quite like it, to everyone in the world, fans of all ages, tastes, shapes, and sizes, to all corners of the globe. Here, me, Phil, from Trinidad World Recording Studios, my beautiful studio here in Fort Worth, Texas, where the guitars hang on the wall, where we all enjoy digging that out of ourselves that makes us unique and putting it into musical form for the whole world to enjoy. How you doing, folks? Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. What an extraordinary run we've had here. Oh, this is episode 112 or so, something like that, yes. Man, oh man, what a ride it has been. We will have our good friend Blake Walker coming in again. Boy, how about Walker? He always brings a topic from out of left field. Talking about NBA Finals basketball, talking fly fishing. We'll see if we can get him off on another tangent here in our middle segment. So look forward to that. Oh man, what is new? So many shows. Man, I'm playing a lot of private parties. Make sure I play yours. Email me, phil@philpritchett.com, or call me, 817-733-5256. If you choose to bring in Phil Pritchett, me solo, or the full band for your party, I email you a one-page contract. Do you hear what I just said? A one-page PDF. Date, amount, sign here, that's it. No food, hotel rooms, fancy drinks provided, nothing. You just pay us, that's it. It's the best show you've ever seen. Am I right or am I wrong? All of you out there who've had us come into play. We do our best, man. We throw everything we got at you. Oh, we love it. Been playing a lot of private shows here lately. Always want to do more. So this summer, keep us in mind, man. You having a little party out at the ranch or a little festival in your hometown or something. You say, man, who could we bring in who would just bring the heavy thunder at a reasonable price? Phil@philpritchett.com. Let us know. We'd love to do that. We've already got a stuff filling up the calendar there, but we always try to make room for as much as we possibly can. Well, 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 summer's upon us, isn't it? Oh, the heat's starting to bear down here in Texas. Good grief, man. Boy, that heat just shows up all of a sudden. You know, after for a while, you're thinking, man, it's only like 90. It's not too bad. It's not too bad. Then it's just smack, 100, 98. Wow. And off we go. Well, man, I have caught a lot of hell for my decorations a few podcasts ago about some of my blanket statements I've made in the van, because I'm known in the old band as a blanket statement guy, someone who I'd just kind of make a bold claim based in some truth, and then Ryan Lynch and Jason Stolle, the full band, the original full band guys, would try to disprove it and tell me I was crazy. But it was always a search for the truth, I'd say. I'd say, well, by making a bold statement, an all-encompassing declaration, if it can't be really proven false, then maybe there's some truth to it. It's a pursuit of the truth. So one of them was about, you know, the very tall don't live to be very old. Meet my grandfather. He's 93. And he walks, and he's 6'10". Oh, my gosh. Very rare indeed. Very rare indeed. Man, it seems like those old folks, they're always about 89 pounds and about 5 feet. You know what I mean? Also, another claim I made that gave me the most heat was my declaration on Diet Coke. Oh, I've just caught holy hell from you guys on that. All your reasons for drinking Diet Coke that have nothing to do with the reasons. Although I got a lot of supportive emails as well. Saying, I never really thought about that, Phil. It's so true. My dad, he's a recovering alcoholic. He drinks like 8 Diet Cokes a day. Or my friend is, you know, he has a weight problem. He smokes cigarettes, but he's off cigarettes, and now he drinks 20 Diet Cokes. You were talking about John Daly drinking all those, the great golfer, and fighting a lot of demons drinking Diet Coke. And I was just making the statement that anyone who starts out as a kid drinking soft drinks, you enjoy Coke or root beer, Dr. Pepper, it tastes great. But man, I mean, as a young kid, you don't have an immediate taste development for something like Diet Coke. Just the aspartame, the saccharin, whatever they got in there. Oh, it just tastes awful. You're like, and why would you drink something fake and disgusting when you could have a delicious Coke, like the real thing? So my theory was that anyone who drinks a lot of Diet Coke in their adulthood, something happened a while back that put them onto Diet Coke. Well, bless his heart, man. I got an email from some of you out there who are tall, who do drink Diet Coke, just thinking, well, Phil, I guess you've got me, you know, dying at the ripe old age of 48, drinking my Diet Cokes. I'm very tall. I'm so, my apologies. I hope it, I'm talking like the very tall, like 7 feet tall. I'm talking like 6'6 or something, or even 6'8, 6'9. I'm talking the very tall, the freakishly tall, I would say. So we'll see, man, how these play out. Let me know if you have any theories, big statements. I'm into things, the pursuit of the truth, right? Right? A statement, an observation you have that, you know what, have you ever noticed this? And then this will carry out or something like that. Shoot them to me, Phil at philpritchard.com. Well, man, catching a lot of hell for that. Diet Coke and the very tall. Well, well, well. What else is going on? What else is going on? Fascinated by a recent article I read in the Wall Street Journal. Again, I ask the question every week. How many Texas music musicians have a home subscription to the Wall Street Journal? I'd offer not very many. Not very many. If you are one, email me. Let me know. Phil at philpritchard.com. I'm not saying it makes me better or anything. I just think it's funny. Unusual. Anyway. Man, I had an interesting thing, and I had this thought a while back, just driving down the road. You know, when I drive to these gigs, like 8-10 hours, I drove to Albuquerque the other, a couple weeks ago, we talked about that. 10 hours both ways, I never turn on the radio. I just roll down the windows, look at the mountains, and I just, you know, I kind of talk to myself, chew sunflower seeds, and just, I need that time to think. That's when I write songs, when I get ideas for stuff. You gotta do stuff. That's so hard to find, sitting here, working and mixing other people's records, and being home with the family, and I never just get time to sort of muse on stuff, let stuff creep into my brain from other planes, I guess. So that's what happened here. Thinking about an article that I read in the Wall Street Journal that posed a very interesting question about the speed of mankind. The speed of mankind. Think about this. For so long, since we were cavemen, man invented ways to increase speed. We invented the wheel. We wanted to travel faster. Yes, man, the horse and the cart and the wheel. Here came the automobile, the train. Faster automobile, please. A faster train. Airplanes, rocket ships. Speed, speed, speed was the future, and man, it got all the way to, man, when was the Concorde? I mean, the fastest jet plane. And it was just like when they made the Concorde in the 70s, you just kind of thought, man, this is just the future of air travel. I mean, why be on these planes that will get you there in 5 hours? You can be on the Concorde, get you there in half the time. It's twice as fast. Pretty soon, all planes are just going to be the Concorde, you know? Just these uber-fast planes. And
stuff like that. Rocket ships, man. Pretty soon we're just going to be blasting off. We'll just be at the moon in like 2 hours, man. And they'll have a McDonald's up there and we'll come back. You know, there's all these kind of wild things because it seemed limitless to what mankind could do with speed. We could just go faster and faster. That was always kind of what happened. And this article was saying that over the last like 10 years, it started to go the other way. That, the Concorde, famously went bust. It was just too expensive to run. And it just wasn't that important for people to get to somewhere that much faster. You know, it was like, oh, it's just a little cheaper to drive, to go on a, you know, on a British Airways plane than take the Concorde. They had a crash. They had a couple of other things go on. Some trouble with manufacturing of the fuel, expensive, and it just didn't make economic sense. So the Concorde has gone away. And it's interesting. It's just kind of, they were saying like one of the first times in the history of man where we had proven ourselves worthy. We had proven ourselves capable of speed, of getting somewhere twice as fast than we normally could before. A new breakthrough, a new level. Yet, there was not enough interest in the population to support or sustain it. So we just withdrew. We just went back to kind of our old DC-10s. And that's the kind of planes we're still flying around in, planes the same way they were built in the 50s, really, like the Pan Am, you know, the jumbo jets, pretty much, right? I mean, it's hadn't changed a whole lot. So it's kind of interesting. And then NASA, kind of on the rocket ship front, made the space shuttle. Well, how long has the space shuttle been around? The 70s, the early 80s? We're blasting off. We're going to, you know, have this space shuttle. We got rockets and fast. We're going to Mars. And it just all sputtered out, man. And here in the last few years, of course, famously, NASA, as the funding and the interest in NASA has gone down, and we're canceling out the space shuttle program. We're not going to be blasting off into space anymore. So that's a big decrease in the speed of man. There's no interest in that speed going into outer space. No interest in taking planes faster. We're slowing down. Why is the reason for that? I was just thinking that was, this is what I chewed on along with those sunflower seeds all the way to Albuquerque and back. Pretty interesting, observation, I thought. Don't you think? The speed of man, how can we can just keep up in ourselves for so long? And then in some categories here in the last 20, 30 years, it's just pulled back to where, we're going fast. Are we going fast enough? The question was, have we just hit a wall? Just, I don't know. It's just as fast as you can get from LA to New York is on a plane, and that's good enough. The one worry I have or concern is, you know, we talk about the book Atlas Shrugged, you know, the Ayn Rand famous book about, you know, governments and how they relate to, the protections of individual rights and things. But in the futuristic world of America, in Ayn Rand's vision, the airlines go under. They can't be sustained financially with the unions and the upkeep and the mechanics and stuff. And in Atlas Shrugged's world, the trains are the once again preferred mode of transportation throughout the country. That the airlines really aren't a sustainable business, which was kind of a weird thing in the book. How this book was written in the 50s, late 50s, right? Atlas Shrugged. And man, you kind of look at the trouble the airlines have staying open, man, and the strikes and the fees and the gas charges and the mechanics. I mean, it's just impossible. The fares keep going up. You wonder how long it can keep up before people just go, man, I'm just going to drive. I'll just take 2 days to drive to, Colorado Springs instead of going an hour on a flight. At what point does a speed not matter to people? I guess it's just a financial thing, right? Is that the only reason? And you wonder if just some of these airlines are just going to keep going broke. Maybe you have a couple airlines at the end. Or if people start traveling by train, are we going backwards? That's kind of the sense I get on some of this stuff. But pretty interesting, man. Speed. Are we slowing down as a world, as a race? Some pretty interesting questions there. Well, speaking of interesting questions that need to be answered, we're going to talk to our good friend Blake Walker, my old road manager, who's always got keen observations on all things. I want to ask him a question about something I thought about his comments last week and follow up with that on some of his thoughts about the purity of sport and hunting and stuff like that. I'm going to talk a little bit about that with Blake when he gets in here in a few minutes. Blake Walker next.
Waste of time, life and pathetically outdated, but I was not deterred, so I took up the chase. You know it's never simple, but it's good for you. Yeah, I can make you see the glory of my trade. Roses don't it beam, and it's good for you. It's good for you. I had been away for far too long without even my own home or a place where I belong. I once stayed with a man.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchett here with you folks on the P2 Podcast from beautiful Trinidad World Recording Studios, my beautiful studio here in Fort Worth, Texas. Come record here, 817-733-5256, or shoot me that email, phil@philpritchett.com. Send me your album to mix it or master it, or just come up here and track the whole thing here start to finish. We do all kinds of things for all of you out there trying to make records. I enjoy being a part of it, no matter if you're a pro, an amateur, whatever. Email me. Let me know what you're working on. Well, we have been fortunate to have our old road manager, Blake Walker, here the last couple of weeks. Man, kind of shaking things up on the podcast, as he always does. Talking about sports and the Mavs a couple of weeks ago. Talking about fly fishing last week. We got into some fly fishing discussion last week. And so I wanted to ask him here today, Blake Walker. Thanks for coming back, Walker.
Yep, yep.
I was fascinated by your, you kind of got into it the last segment, talking about fly fishing. Your father, only a dry fly fisherman, a purist in every sense of the word. And it got me to thinking about purity, because there's a lot to purity in any sort of undertaking. Follow me here for a minute.
All right.
Well, fishing, you know, you can get out there with a bunch of bloody bait on treble hooks, throw it out there and horse in fish. Ah, but that's too easy. The bow hunter. Goes to shoot the elk or the deer with the bow, not with the long-range rifle. You shoot them from a mile away. It's like shooting a dog, only a bigger target, you know?
Yeah.
But to sneak up on him and shoot him with the bow, that's different. That's different. Mm. Fly fishing, certainly. There's a lot of endeavors in sports and arts that people like to be the purist on. But some are not. One of the big exceptions of this, and I wonder why it is you know, how come something like that doesn't creep into, like, the game of golf has been my question. Golf has just gotten so driven by technology.
Yeah.
But you wonder if there's guys out there, kind of like the fly fishing guy who wants to use the old pole and the dry fly. How come guys don't go back and get the old hickory shaft club? Or at least like an old, you know, just say, hey, I don't play from the back tees with the titanium driver. It's got me a wood driver.
Yeah.
Just got me a little Calamity Jane, little bullseye, or a bullseye type putter, just a straight. No, belly putter, just something real straight. Go out and play the game of golf with an old kind of soft balata ball. But you don't, are guys out there like that, wearing knickers, carrying an old mashie? You know what I'm saying? I can see that being a thing in the years to come as people get so burned out on these 400-yard drives and things like that.
I'm sure they're out there. You know, once again, my old man is like that about the He calls the long putter. What's the one that goes all the way up to your chest?
Yeah, you get the belly putter, or the long putter.
Yeah. Uh-huh. My dad calls that cheating. He's like, that's cheating. You know, that's not real putting. He's the same way about that gigantic putter. But with all the titanium, he's got the nicest
he's
clubs.
Got some, yeah, he's got an Odyssey does, putter probably.
He hits all the big, nice, he'll buy new drivers, you know, right, when the new stuff comes out.
In recorded music, there's a huge purity debate. There's the old analog gear, the old board, the old amps, using the real drummer. All that kind of stuff is very like, ooh, look at us, this is how we do it. And if they find out that, oh man, he used canned drum tracks, he used modern technology to just fly in his drum sounds, he plugged his electric guitar just straight into the computer and used a plug-in amplifier setting or something like that to get his guitar tone. Oh, that's so impure. It's such a put-off for a lot of people, and for the right reasons. I just wonder in what endeavors purity is celebrated and where it's no one cares. It's just – I mean, is golf just a hard enough game that no one's going to use a wooden shaft club? Everyone wants any advantage they possibly can get. But do you think they'd be the same in fishing? Fishing's hard too.
Yeah, but I think
why is fishing different?
I think fishing is similar to golf because people do buy the new type of rods. They have new rods, new reels,
that's right.
New waders. People buy all that junk. The basic way you catch a fish is always going to be the same. Uh-huh. You know, you got to figure out what to throw, and you got to throw it, and you got to make it look natural. Mm-hmm. And that's the difficulty of fly fishing. But I think golf, it's similar to that. I mean, you still have, you know.
It is. I mean, why wouldn't guys just go deer hunting with a M16? You know, just, I mean, why have one arrow when you can just fire 24 rounds in a second at a deer? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and there's guys that do that.
There's guys that do that.
And a lot of people look at Texas and think that we're nuts because we hunt deer off feeders.
Right.
And so we have a little feeder that they come to every day.
Is that illegal in other states?
Yeah, in some states that's called baiting, and that's illegal. There's places like Kansas where I'm pretty sure it's Kansas, you can't set a feeder.
Yeah.
You got to hunt game trails, and you got to sit up in a tree, and you got to put your blind out there. And so it's more challenging. It's real hunting.
Right.
And so I agree. I mean, I've killed some.
We just got too many deer down here. Don't we? Isn't that the problem? You're kind of like, dude, I mean, better than an 18-wheeler hitting it there on I-45, you know. That's the fate of a lot of those poor animals.
Yeah, that's true. You do have to, you have to regulate the population
a little bit.
But I totally agree. I've shot some big bucks off of feeders,
right?
And I don't want to do it anymore because I've done it once and I have the buck and it's
right.
I got
you
mounted.
Carry that guilt now for the rest of your life.
No, I've been there and done that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I started bow hunting when I was in college because I had shot so many deer with a rifle. It wasn't fun anymore.
Right.
And so I was like, man, I want to kill one with a bow. And I never have. And I don't hunt that much anymore. But the challenge of it changed. And I wanted to keep challenging myself. And I also wanted to have something, you know, to be able to put your chest out and say, man, I killed one with a bow.
Yeah.
You know, like,
right.
Look at this. And I think golf is hard enough to where it doesn't matter. You know?
Maybe people aren't intrigued with the difficult nuances of the game of yore. You know, they want the best lie they can get off the best manicured turf.
Yeah.
Technologically available. The ball that's going to go the furthest. The club that's going to be the most forgiving. Yeah, it's interesting, though, because golf is very much steeped in tradition, steeped in its history. But it seems like it doesn't have any people who adhere to the old standards of the game.
No, it was always...
Whereas hunting and fly fishing, other hobby-type games seem to. There seem to be a faction of people who will only bow hunt, and they'll only, they only use dry flies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I challenge, email me, golfers, phil@philpritchard.com, say, well, why isn't there a purity golf movement? Maybe I should start it.
You should start it. That'd
just
be awesome.
Wear knickers, the floppy hat.
Yeah, the Payne Stewart dress.
Yeah, yes. And just have, like, you know, back in the days of yore, you just had, like, a mashie and a couple different wooden woods and a couple irons and
a
little putter.
It'd be awesome to
and
watch
a softball.
Tournament.
Well, and you like know what? That. Don't play from the back tees. Play from the ladies tee. Play from the up tees. You know, just where a par four is like, you know, 320, because you only hit your drive about 200 yards.
Yeah.
But you just go out there and you play the game of golf the way it was meant to be played.
That'd be
then
fun.
We can see who can. And you're still getting the advantage of probably a ball that doesn't get out of round. You're probably getting nicer greens than old Tom Morris had back in the 1800s, you know?
That'd be fun to watch a tournament like that. Put some money on the line.
Well, you know, Matt,
let everybody have the same clubs.
Me and Matt Pivoteau, my old booking agent, who's a great golfer, we were kicking around the idea of challenging each other to a game of golf to where we did just that. We were going to go hit it like a pawn shop where each of us got to select an old set of irons.
Why has this never happened?
I know. It'd be great.
Are you kidding me?
Like not wooden shafts, like a whole set, but man,
right.
like a Hogan Apex. I mean, just a blade.
Yeah,
just where the blade is like 3 inches across, just a 3-iron. You're like, damn, that's
well,
not
Well, we
very
can
big
make
club.
This happen.
Because the Callaways, you know, like these huge, cavity-backed heads and stuff. So you had to use like a wooden driver, blade irons, just a blade iron, and like a simple, you know, like a Wilson, what is it, Wilson staff putter, just a real simple, just a blade.
Just the putt putter?
Nothing behind the...
Yeah,
exactly.
It's the old school putt.
And that's it. And we just go out and we play and we see how well we do.
Dude, why...
It'd be interesting to see, right, wouldn't it?
Pivoteau, I'm going to email you this. You might already be listening, but it's going to happen.
Been
it's going to happen. The next time Phil comes to play the Lakes... What is it?
Yeah,
the Lakeside Ice House.
Yeah, Lakeside Ice House.
Next time Phil comes down there, it's on.
That's right.
It's on.
Nine holes on campus.
It's a challenge.
Go out there to the Texas A&M. Golf
yeah, they
course.
Got a public golf course out there.
Oh yeah, yeah,
right on campus.
On the lake? Is there one out on the lake too?
There's one in Bryan. I don't know if there's one close to the lake, but I know there's a public one in Bryan. But it's on.
Yeah,
Pivoteau will take that up.
Wouldn't
I know
that be
he
good?
Will.
That'd be interesting though, wouldn't it?
Just
awesome. To see how you could play with an old wooden McGregor driver, and gosh, those things don't go nearly as far, of course. And
yeah,
they if you slice or hook them a little bit, they really turn the ball in the air.
You'd have to practice a little bit on it.
You would.
You would.
It would be.
Because it's going to be totally different.
It would be very, very difficult.
But it would be awesome to see that. I would enjoy that.
Purity. What's something else that could benefit from purity? What's just gotten impure because of the technology of late?
Movies.
Anything else?
Movies.
Oh, there
you
go.
The whole freaking CGI
deal.
Blue
screen. Kills the whole deal.
It's awful.
The previews for Green Lantern are just nauseating. I'm like, this is like watching
you.
A video game.
Thank you. It's terrible.
With Ryan Reynolds just standing in front of a screen just with a look of, oh my gosh.
It's
I'm
so
just like, this
fake.
Looks so dumb.
You know what made
it? Looks like Call of Duty.
Yes.
Which is awesome. But I mean, it's not a movie. It's
fake.
Not. It just looks like
a video game. What made Star Wars so amazing?
Yeah.
No one had ever seen stuff like that, which was cool. But
part of the fun is when you're watching it, you're like, my God, how did they do that?
Yeah.
That was part of the fun.
Dude, they did models,
uh-huh.
and they did makeup and masks,
uh-huh.
and it looked awesome.
Yeah.
And it still holds its weight today. But that crap with Jar Jar Binks and the three movies they made, they're awful.
I saw one the other day with Ewan McGregor and Portman. It looked like something on FX, like at 3 a.m.
Yeah,
I was just like, is this one of the movies? Because I was really thinking, I go, this must be like some. Did they do some TV show spinoffs or something?
Oh, dude, it was so.
It seemed so low budget.
They spent a fortune on it,
but
it seemed so low budget because everything was CGI and blue screen and so fake looking.
Yeah.
And every character that they made that was like an alien that when you were younger and you saw Star Wars, it looked so cool.
Yeah.
It was like a mask and like all weird looking. Or they
like
do
the bar in Star Wars,
yes,
the band.
Dude.
And
the cantina scene.
Yeah,
in
I mean,
Star
they're
Wars.
All just guys in rubber masks,
yes.
And you know that,
but
it's
looks
still,
cool.
It looks real.
Yes.
It doesn't look.
And then now you have, it looks like artwork, and it's so cheesy looking. And that's one of the worst. I mean, you talk about a great three movie series that holds its own in all three films.
Yeah, sure, I'd say
great,
so. Yeah.
That they just raped it and destroyed it for life. I mean, it's so embarrassing that when I show my daughter or my soon to be kids, I won't ever show them the last three Star Wars films.
Yeah, oh, no,
they're
terrible. Me neither.
Or that last freaking Indiana Jones movie they made where there's aliens. It's like, are you kidding me? Do we remember the first one? It was great.
Right. Yeah,
it was
a
classic. You know?
Yeah.
They destroy it with the technology they come
out with.
Movies
and music, they're destroying technology. Now, no one's going back to the old Apple IIe computers. We like whatever our laptops and phones can give us.
That's fine.
Even if it gives us cancer.
Yeah, even
have
if it kills us.
Have you been reading this stuff? What are you thinking of that?
It's kind of scary when you have kids who constantly want to play on your cell phone.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right.
You worry about, wow, this isn't good.
Man, I've kind of gone back to my speakerphone works fine on my phone. I've kind of been just sitting it on my desk and just talking. I was like, man,
it's creepy.
I don't know. Is that being... You just think back to like cigarettes. It took a long time for them to figure out that it was no good. There's no evidence and there's none of this and none of that. And then... I mean, at some point, there's a logic that says, dude, inhaling smoke in your lungs isn't going to be good for you. Strapping a piece of radiation to your side of your head isn't going to be good for you. I don't know. Are we all doomed? Are we all going to die at the age of 48?
One thing's for certain. We're all going to die.
Yeah, that's right.
Nobody knows from what. I ain't worried about it.
But we will be tweeting.
We'll tweet to our last breath.
That's right. We'll say, well, it's been a great ride. You know, we'll chronicle it on Facebook as it all goes down.
Yeah, I don't worry about any of that junk. The good Lord's going to take me when he wants to take me. If I'm walking my dog, get hit by lightning or car wreck or
you know,
old age.
Cars, another thing people revel in the old cars.
Yeah.
The old locks, the old Mustang 65, totally. They don't say, well, I put a satellite radio in it and, shoulder seat belts. No one does that. That means you're not a purist.
Yep.
So automobiles, purity matters.
The muscle cars.
The muscle car.
Yeah.
Yeah, the old Mustangs and Corvettes, dude. You want them exactly how they were back then.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Guitars are the same way, aren't they?
Yeah. Well,
don't you want an old guitar?
You want the old style. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want something with a keyboard attached to it or something.
No.
Or you plug this in. You can export whatever you just played into your computer. You're like, I don't want that. Come on, you know. But they make them, but they're just no purist would ever. No real musician, it's thought, would do that.
No. And if you're a real musician, you're going to play your music live. But the guys get exposed that put it all together on the computer and don't have a band and can't play live, to me, it's kind of embarrassing.
It's the quandary. It's a quandary. Purity is a quandary, isn't it?
Well, that takes me back to the argument we always get into about American Idol.
Yeah.
That, to me, just destroys the purity of what an artist is and where they come from and how they cut their teeth and how they make it.
Yeah.
Because they just freaking mass produce you, and if you're good looking and have a voice, you win American Idol and they pump out some records on you.
Yeah.
You know, and it takes away
but
from...
But then they're quickly forgotten, right? I mean...
Yeah. They are.
Who remembers any of these?
There's
kids?
Some that,
yeah,
I mean,
no,
I guess
Carrie Underwood.
Kelly Clarkson and Carrie Underwood.
Yeah.
There's some of them that have
made
it.
A couple of them that have
but
really
the,
made it.
The truth is, I think you make it harder for guys to go out there and make it on their own when you're pumping them everyone full of American Idol and everyone's buying into it. And that's what everybody's looking and waiting for and watching for. But I don't know if that's where the record companies and the popular producers decide what the next music's going to sound like.
Right.
Not just the guy at home in his high school band who's cutting his teeth and is going to play in college and move on. That band may never get heard.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Nobody's pumping that guy through the radio. You know? I just feel like that.
You know who that guy is? That's me. And if you're lucky and you stay alive and keep playing, maybe you can sit here and talk to Blake Walker.
That's about, not luck,
about
man.
About purity, about the quandary of purity here on the P2 podcast.
Oh.
Well, our good friend Blake Walker has been with us. Gosh, the last 3 weeks here. Thanks for coming by,
no
Walker.
Problem.
Offering insight into all things basketball finals, fly fishing, and just the quandary of technology and purity and how that plays out in other in many endeavors. Interesting discussion. So philosophical, Blake Walker is here. We're always treated to his... the benefits of his brains and intelligence. Thank you, Blake. Well, coming up here, we're going to grab a record and walk over to the vault. We'll see what we got next. Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast from Trinidad World Recording Studios here in Fort Worth, Texas. Are you a musician? Email me, phil@philpritchett.com. Come record here at Trinidad. Or send me your tracks. I'll mix them and master them here if you'd like. Add some background vocals, B3 guitar, whatever. It's what we do. Or just email or call us, 817-733-5256. To book Phil Pritchett and the full band for your summer bash, wherever it may be. We love it, man. We've been playing a lot of private parties here. Of late in the spring, a couple of crawfish boils, graduations, weddings, festivals, barbecues out on the ranch, etc. So much fun. Give us a call. Email us. We'd love to come play for you as well. Well, it's REM month here, officially. Is it not? Me and Rodney Parker making a record of REM songs, talking a lot about it. So, in preparation for this EP with Parker, man, I went back through my REM catalog, digging through the iTunes, skipping through, just going, oh, yeah, man, I remember this one. I like this one. I like this one. And I ended up making Rodney a disc of like 15 REM songs he'd never really heard. He had his favorites off of some of their later stuff that we're going to do. But some of the really early stuff he hadn't really listened to a whole lot. So I made him sort of this hodgepodge record of some R.E.M. stuff. And it was received warmly. But it was cool, man. It kind of got me listening to some of this R.E.M. stuff. So we're going to look at their second record, Reckoning, which followed up their debut, Murmur, which got them a lot of attention. It was album of the year, I think, Murmur, for Rolling Stone. You know, back in the 80s, that meant something, man. 1980, to be exact. So this is their second record, IRS Records. They go into the studio, and they were going to make a double album, I believe. They had a ton of songs, but they ended up not doing that. It's probably just as well. The double album's a bad idea, man, in my opinion. More on that later. We opened up here with Seven Chinese Brothers. Love that song. Well, we're going to do a short and sweet one here, Second Guessing. R.E.M., Reckoning. Jangly, fast, rockin'. It must be early R.E.M., and yes, indeed it is. 1982, I believe. Reckoning, the second album from R.E.M. Athens, Georgia, man. Artistic, drunk, southern, awesome. Get into it. Reckoning, this is their second record we're listening to here in the vault. That was Second Guessing. Well, as I said right before this song was played, they were trying to make a double record. You know, you could still get away with that in, like, the 80s. Make a double album, man. Man, even the White Album is one album too long for me. There, I said it. The biggest Beatles fan in the world. But, man, I'm more partial to the early Beatles, man, the middle Beatles there. Revolver, Rubber Soul, Helps, stuff like that. You know, 12, 14 songs. I never just sit there and listen to the entire Beatles White Album. Man, there's a bunch I skip on there. The noisy ones, the talky ones, it's got its moments, man. There's no question. There's about one great 14, 13 song album there in the Beatles White Album. It's about all anybody can come up with in a year or two, don't you think? So it's probably just as well that R.E.M. went ahead and just did one record here on Reckoning, filling it up with some cool tunes, rocking it out. Well, one of their all-time classics was on this one. This is a South Central Rain. There's a cool video of them. I just, you know, playing on Letterman. Go on YouTube, look up REM, South Central Rain. Back when Michael Stipe had tons of curly, wayward hair, and he's just mumbling on stage. Peter Buck playing a Rickenbacker, just doing leg kicks and jumping off his amp behind him. South Central Rain, early Letterman, man. Check it out on YouTube. I think it's still there. And this is the tune, South Central Rain, REM.
Never call, waiting for your calls. Rivers of suggestion are driving me away. The trees will bend, the cities wash away. The city on the river has a girl without a dream. I'm sorry.
Such sadness, man. Such longing in the vocal and the chord changes. Such yearning. That's what gives REM its edge, man. They're not just sitting there blathering about how cool they are. Went out last night, da 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 da. Just, you know what I'm saying? They're just sorry, na, 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 sorry. Everyone pitching in, little dropouts with the piano. Great arrangements, man. Real drama in the mix and the playing. Little signature guitar licks, you know, in these early records, man, there's not a lot of songs where they just come out of the gate just strumming a chord forever, you know, in three songs. They don't really have a whole lot of songs like that, man. Most of them have something they're building around, a little bass line or a guitar signature lick, like Driver 8 from last week, you know, that down, da 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 da. Man, it's amazing how little I hear that in the studio. Yeah, I mean, you know, the Beatles... Not to compare everything to the Beatles, but, you know, Day Tripper, there's... It's rare, man, that I hear something. People come to me, hey, have you heard this new band, this new Texas music band, Red Dirt Band? And there's just some little lick at the top that's really memorable. I don't know, man. Try to pluck out a few notes at the top of your songs. That'd be my advice. I'll take my own advice and try to do it more myself. Well, 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 speaking of memorable songs, I always loved this one. Fast, unintelligible lyrics, mumbling, Pretty Persuasion, Reckoning, R.E.M. Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, coming to you from Trinidad World Recording Studios and listening to so much R.A.M. It's going to drive some of you mad. Ha ha ha. And that's what gives me so much joy. Well, I hope I've shed a little light here with some old R.A.M. jangly, drunk southern music filled with artistry and mystery. That is the greatness of R.A.M. Don't look at their later stuff and think, who's this guy? You know, they got all political, etc., whatever. Turn some people off in their later years. But don't believe it, man. You got to go back to the source. There's a reason they're there in the first place. Go back and examine it, as we have examined it here. The second record from R.E.M., early 80s, 1982, Reckoning. So much fun on this album. All kinds of stuff. A lot of dynamics, but mostly just some good rock and roll, man. With a lot of yearning, and longing in the lyrics, as we say. Well, my thanks to Blake Walker for dropping by. Isn't he great? Walker, Texas road manager, for the third week in a row, dropping by and just espousing opinions, throwing off opinions like sparks left and right, trying to start a fire. We were ducking in here. Man, it's always crazy when he drops by. Well, well, we will leave you here with some more REM on the outro. We're going to do a little Don't Go Back to Rockville. Jangly, almost a kind of country tune here, one of my favorites, and an REM classic. Hang in there, folks. Send me those emails, phil@philpritchard.com, to book the band or to come record at the studio. Or just send us your tracks for me to mix and overdub and master for you, whatever. Call me, email me, 817-733-5256. That's all the time we have for this week, folks. Stay good to each other out there. We'll see you at the shows and elsewhere. Much tougher.
Looking at your watch, a good time waiting in the station. Is it so?